So, Mark, did you see that crazy check-in line at Paris, Las Vegas this weekend? We've seen this previously at Rio, so I don't know if it's tied into Caesar's properties. I heard there might have been a system malfunction, but people were spilling out onto the casino floor. Another one of those crazy Vegas weekends.
Yeah, what do you do if this happens? Like, if I walk up and I see this line, there's no way I'm standing there. Like, only sheep would stand there in that line. I'm booking a different hotel, or I'm gonna go, drink and come back all drunk. I don't know, but there's no way I'm waiting 3 hours to check into a middle tier hotel.
I think you have the strategy right. Drop your bags off at the bell desk, get drunk, go enjoy your Vegas thing, come back at midnight and check in, and then pass out in your room. That's the only way to do it. I mean, that has to be hours waiting in that line.
I mean, most people don't sleep the first night in Vegas anyway, right? Is it just me?
As promised, Phish came to town this weekend at the Sphere. They were the second big act behind U2 to come there, doing individual shows, each show different set list, different visuals. And I spoke to a couple people who had been there, and they all loved the shows and tons of visuals all over social media. They really stepped it up. I would say it's different than U2, but on the same level, but it's hard to tell without being there. It looked great though.
I think somebody commented on the last video that they went to the shows and they've been going to Phish concerts for 20 years or 30 years, whatever it be. And they said it's by far the best show they've ever seen and kind of blew them away. So just like having that Sphere aspect and then having their creativity and, kudos for them for doing a different show. I wouldn't want to do a different show every night. I'd be like, I spent enough time figuring out one show. I don't need to come up with four different ones. So hopefully they get more extension. I mean, putting all this effort into four shows seems kind of crazy, doesn't it?
It does, and like you said, hopefully maybe they'll extend in sets of four so they can, keep these individual shows going for future weekends. But we don't know anything about that. Dead & Company will be the next one, and that should hopefully have some crazy visuals as well. I do have a ticket to go see that, so I'm excited. But the Sphere still doesn't have a ton of announcements for new acts. We had hoped that they would fill it up and actually thought that they would fill it up. Kind of surprised that we're still with these big gaps in between bands. But everything from U2 to Phish, everybody loves the Sphere.
I'm kind of surprised they don't even have like a second movie. I think they should have come out with two movies right off the bat. So you can get people to come to both. You can rotate them, have different times of the day, one at this time, one at that time, or maybe rotate weeks or something like that. Like give people a reason to go back to something that's so special. And they just, I don't know, they spent all this money. It doesn't seem like they're able to get any content out there besides on the front-facing aspect of it. So hopefully they figure that out, and I'd love to see like every night something somewhat new going in there. I don't know. It's kind of crazy.
It is, but Phish came to town. Again, beautiful visuals and high praise from everybody I saw on social media and the people that I chatted with online. So this is a positive story for the Sphere. There haven't been any negative stories other than the potential financial problems, but this place has had so much good press. Why are artists not falling over themselves to do a show here?
I don't know. Maybe it's just the amount of time and effort. That's why it's so surprising that Phish did only four shows, because we've talked about how much money U2 had to spend to create this and how much time it took them. So you'd think that you'd be like, hey, I'm only going to do it if you're going to give me 20 shows or 30 shows. Even if it's scattered over like 2 years, you think you'd want to get that locked in. And maybe they do, they just haven't announced it yet. But I'm guessing that has to be the aspect. Like they don't want to put the creative effort into doing this, or they don't have the time or the money. I don't know. But you'd think that people would want to do it, even if it's like kind of basic just to get in there. I don't know.
What's not basic, Mark, is Brightline. And there's haters out there. This train started many, many years ago, the high-speed train to Los Angeles, and it's had different names, Desert Express. Bunch of different companies have sort of taken over this. And Brightline is the one that's trying to bring it to the finish line by actually starting. They broke ground on Monday for their high speed train between Las Vegas and Rancho Cucamonga. And for
Yes.
everybody who's saying it's not going to happen, here you go. Shovels in the
Now
ground.
they're just going to say Rancho Cucamonga is not Los Angeles.
So for people kind of keeping track of the financing, this is going to be a $12 billion project with $3.5 billion paid by bonds, another $3 billion in grants, and then the rest of the money is private funding. And they want to have this train open before the 2028 Olympics in Los Angeles. And it will be built mostly along the middle of I-15, going through the whole area. They have all of their union contracts. They have all of their rights of way. All the environmental studies are done. Now it's time to finally build this thing.
What is the drive normally? Because I know you've done that drive quite a few times. times. What's the drive from Rancho Cucamonga to Vegas normally take you?
From Rancho Cucamonga to Vegas with no traffic, you're at about maybe 245-ish, depending on how fast you go. Some people probably do it in 2 hours with the speeds that people go on the 15. This entire trip is going to take upwards of 3 hours, they say, from Rancho Cucamonga to Vegas. The top speed will be 200 miles an hour, but there will be other areas where it's not going quite as fast. And Brightline broke ground at their station in Las Vegas, which is off of Warm Springs and Las Vegas Boulevard, not far from the rental car center and potential home to our future NBA arena as well.
Yeah, that's what kind of surprises me, though. Like, it's going to take longer, unless there's other stops along the way that they haven't talked about. I kind of figured it would be like a straight shot speed type train. So I figured it'd save time. I mean, would I rather drive 2.5 hours or sit on a train for 3 hours? I'd rather sit on the train because you can get work done or do every other things. You're not focusing on it, but you are more tied to their schedule, which other people wouldn't like. So I'd probably still drive from LA, park there, and then ride the rest of the way in. You could do it during a work day on your lunch break and then do your emails and stuff on the train. So I think it still adds value, but I'm just surprised that it's not really saving time, depending on traffic, of course.
And traffic is the name of the game in Los Angeles. So I think it really depends how close you live to this. Metrolink, the local area transit, will tie into the Rancho Cucamonga station. But depending on where you are in the LA area, it's so vast, it could take a long time to get there. This clearly won't make sense for a lot of people. If you have a big family or you're driving, it's more economical. They have said tickets are going to be up to $400, which seems like a lot. So there's still a lot to work out here on how successful this will be. A lot of challenges, but it's going to get built, or at least they're going to start to build it.
$400, I'm back off. I changed my mind. I'm driving.
But millions and millions of people make that trip every single year. So plenty of customers if they can get the price right and the experience right.
I would feel like for $400, you could probably get a flight a lot of the time, you know, if you're not booking last minute, if you plan a little bit.
I'm sure it's going to cause disruptions on Interstate 15 as well while they construct this thing. So we'll keep an eye on that. But it is this is a huge milestone for Brightline, getting funding all sorted out and getting groundbreaking finished. And let's build this thing. Speaking of building a thing, did you see this video shared by Turn It Up World from the Showcase Mall? A window apparently just fell out of the mall. Hopefully nobody was hurt. I don't think anybody was hurt or walking under it when it happened. But that's kind of scary to see.
Yeah, isn't this? I thought it was a Fountain Blue story at first, you know, a made up one.
Yeah, exactly. Fake.
No, it is scary because a lot of people walk right there. I mean, if it happens somewhere else, like in an office building or something, it's probably not as scary because there's not a ton of pedestrian traffic. But in this area in Vegas, there's always people walking under there. So I'm surprised it wasn't more terrible or anything too bad didn't happen. But it's scary. And hopefully they check all the other windows.
Yeah, you never know when a window is just going to fall out of a building. So always look up, I suppose. There's no other answer. It's just a crazy thing to see. So I wanted to share it.
I don't think you want to look up. That's going to be worse. I'd rather just not know and be done. But I mean, I've never heard of a glass just falling out of the side of a building before. Have you?
No, but this is like the modern version of like an air conditioner falling off of a building or something and hitting somebody. It's, you know, it's not funny, but glad that people weren't hurt. And it's sort of a crazy thing to see. So we thought we would show it to you guys. So a couple weeks ago, this company called Casino Sweeps sent me an email, the best Vegas casinos for an Instagram worthy night. So basically they just searched Instagram for all of the casino hashtags to see what people are talking about, which properties they're talking about. And there are some surprises here. First off, number 8 is SLS. And so I thought, you know, immediately when I saw this that they were a little behind the times, but they went into an explanation saying that they combined SLS and Sahara, kind of looking back. And SLS had enough hashtags on Instagram to get it up to number 8 on the list. Only 5,000 for Sahara, about 50,000 for SLS. I wonder if they had some social media campaign to do it, because that name didn't last very long. It wasn't very popular, and it was quickly returned back to Sahara.
Did 50,000 people even stay at SLS when it was SLS? It was confusing.
But kind of rounding up the list, Caesar's Palace way out in front, 938,000 Instagram posts, followed by Mandalay Bay, 632,000. And then Wynn and Encore, I would sort of combine those two together for number 3, then Bellagio. Surprised that Bellagio is so far down compared to, say, Caesar's Palace with the conservatory and the fountains and everything else they have going on. I wonder why Caesar's Palace is so popular.
Yeah, I don't know if they just want like the David statue picture photo with the man parts or what. I was surprised. I would have picked Bellagio first just because, you know, like you said, the fountains, number one. That's like the number one thing anybody that goes to Vegas wants to take a picture in front of is the fountains. And then you have the gardens inside, even the lobby area with that ceiling and everything. I'm just surprised. I would have put them first, maybe like Wynn second. Caesars would have probably been like five or six on my list. I don't know. I was shocked to see. And then to see how far out Caesars was from everybody else is kind of crazy too.
Yeah, I mean like 10x some of the other ones. So yeah, let us know which hotels you Instagram. Do you guys post specific shots? What's your favorite place to Instagram? I'm really surprised Bellagio. That would have been my guess, number one. And Mandalay Bay for some reason. What the heck are they Instagramming at Mandalay Bay?
I don't know. The one wave every 15 minutes?
As a reminder, we have our Patreon going. $5 a month gets you access to our weekly after show. Lots of fun, lots of talking Vegas behind the scenes of the channel. Patreon.com/MTM Vegas for all of the information. We really appreciate everyone who supports us over there. So a few weeks ago, we talked about Circa and their adult tea time, their very boozy tea, which had like an open bar, lots to eat and drink. Well, we found out that Virgin has every Sunday, they have a upside down tea party, which includes boozy teapot plus bites. And it's from 12 to 4 in the Shag Room, which is a very cool venue at Virgin, one that we like a lot. And yeah, $49, not bad. I'm assuming you get one boozy teapot, not multiple. And then you get the food, but the menu looks pretty good.
Yeah, I think this is a really cool idea. And people that, you know, saw the Circa one when we talked about it and were complaining about the price, this is priced really well, I think, you know, for the booze that you're getting, then all the food, finger foods, and just like the experience and everything. They have live music, which is really cool, a singer in there. So I think there's a lot of value here. And I think the Shag Room is probably like the most underrated place in Vegas that I've been, as far as how cool it is and how unique it is, and then nobody talks about it or goes to it, it seems like, and it's just not really out there. And I know we've talked about it several times. I would definitely go check this out, you know, if I had time in the morning and wanted to do something like this. I think it's a good draw there, something to use the space during the day. I think it's a good move.
Yeah, it's a very neat bar. I've seen it busy sometimes. Other times it's just sort of sitting there empty, but it's a cool place to sit, have a drink, especially when they have live music, which they do during this tea as well. You get live performances along with the food and the boozy tea. So we'll put a link in the description for you to check it out. I've been in Virgin a couple times in the last couple weeks. We talked maybe 3 months ago how we went out and had a night at Ellis Island in Virgin. And coming from that, my wife got some $30 free play comps each week. So we've been sort of stopping in there when we're already at the Strip. And she's been doing fairly well, winning every time, or the two times we visited this month, which is very nice. But then I started to kind of digging into their program, and it really does stink because it's all based on rated play. So you can't play there expecting to get points and comps that way. But if they send out good offers, which $30 is very borderline, but we have to drive by there anyway, then maybe worth a look at it.
Yeah, I think that's where the value is in Vegas and casino, more than points or anything like that. Maybe back in the day, it was, you know, you were getting a lot more points, but now it's about if you get that stay, you know, the free stay, next time comp stay, some dinner, some free play, all those types of things. So I think as long as you get that, the points are just kind of like a secondary good option. Like, oh, here, I got some points too. But that's the main thing people focus on, I think.
Yeah, so we'll keep following up. But she played for a couple hours, left even a few months ago, then got these $30 per week. And she's gone twice and left up a couple $100 each time, or $300 each time specifically. I'm sure that money will go back, but we'll see if that leads to more offers, and we'll follow up with you guys in the future. When we were there the other night, we were thinking about eating there. Casa Calaveras, the Mexican restaurant, we both like that. And we almost ate there, but then I had a craving for prime rib. So I went on to Open Table and made a reservation at primarily prime rib at the South Point. And that's the place, I think I've talked about it on the show before, like $26 for a prime rib. It includes salad, table side, tossed salad, includes your baked potato. It's at the South Point. Tons of great deals there. Just wanted to highlight that since we did it the other night. Always delivers, and you can't really beat that deal. Tableside salad and $26.
Yeah, that's really a great deal for prime rib anywhere, much less Vegas. So I think that's one to definitely make a trip to. And then I think, you know, you hit a good tip in there. Open Table, a lot of people don't think about it or anything like that. Like, there's been numerous times in Vegas where there's a 45-minute wait and we grab something, you know, an online reservation minutes before walking up, and all these other people just don't think about it. You're just like, oh, it's Vegas, I'll just walk in and sit down. And that's not the case anymore. So always check online, Open Table, other type of thing like Talk and all that stuff. So use what you can, and you can skip all these lines that people are waiting in.
Yeah, and in that case, there was a wait when we got there, but we walked right to our table because we had the reservation that I had made about 40 minutes before. So definitely keep that in mind. Reservations are a good thing in Vegas. You didn't used to have to do that, but these days you sort of do, especially at the more popular places or on busier nights. And the South Point was packed, as it always is on the weekend. It's doing better than ever still has that old school vibe. I love that place. Tons of great deals. Still some good happy hours. So yeah, check out the South Point if you've never been there. Here's a story we didn't cover a couple weeks ago. Off to like Henderson and Green Valley. The Dollar Loan Center, which is the new arena in Henderson, it's home to the minor league hockey team, to the Nighthawks, arena football team, and a few others. It was named Dollar Loan Center. That was the sort of naming rights that they have, but that fell through. And then a couple weeks ago, it became the Lee's Family Forum. Now, the Lee family is famous here for owning Lee's Discount Liquors. So we went from a payday loan shop to a liquor store, but Lee family in a high esteem here. I think this is an upgrade.
Yeah, I think anything other than dollar loans is good. And at least it's not like Lee Family Liquors or anything like that. Like it, so it just kind of is like, oh, that's a family that donated some money or something. Like it doesn't send you one way or the other. So that's better. And, you know, not surprising that the deal fell through with the dollar loans. They probably, you know, couldn't make their minimum payments or whatever.
Yeah, that interest was joke. Killer. That interest was killer on the naming rights. So just down the street from there, there's an interesting project called the Cliff at GVR. And everybody knows that there's like the district in that area, Green Valley Ranch Station Casino. So those are the district, sort of an outdoor shopping mall. But just down the street from there, this company is converting two old office buildings into what they call the Cliff at GVR, which is going to be high-end shopping and dining. And it's happening just down the street from all of this. So more happening in that area. And it's a great place that's sort of an alternative to the Strip, similar to what you have in downtown Summerlin and Red Rock. We're getting more of these areas over in Green Valley with the Green Valley Ranch Casino and the Lee's Family Forum now kind of anchoring all of that.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a really nice addition. And I just, it made me laugh when I read the press release about it, how they tried to like make a basically a strip mall, a nice strip mall, but a strip mall sounds so much better than a strip mall. It was kind of funny.
And a strip mall that's made out of existing office buildings, which is very strange. I wasn't sure originally when I saw whether they're going to tear down, but you can tell by the art that they're just fancying up the front of these buildings and sort of making this outdoor space. But you're right, it is a strip mall. So we'll see if they pull this off and what sort of tenants they get. They're looking for high-end stuff, a very affluent area, so I'm sure they'll do pretty well. But it's nice to have another sort of destination shopping thing in this area as it grows, and it's right next to Green Valley Ranch, down the street from the Lee's Family Forum and all of that. Now, speaking of shopping malls, Town Square has grown tremendously over the last few years, and golf in Las Vegas, I guess, not the regular type of golf, but the miniature alternative golf, has grown so much. We have Atomic Golf that just opened, and now we have Pop Stroke, which is, I believe, ties in with Tiger Woods somehow. It opened at Town Square on Monday, and it looks kind of cool. There's two 18-hole courses, and the prices are for all day. So $40 for adults, $35 for locals, kids are $24, seniors get a special price at $32. So you pay one price and then you can play all day. Opening at this time of year is a little curious because it's about to get hot.
Yeah, I think that's what we mentioned when this was first announced was, you know, what are they going to do in the summer months? It's going to be tough. I mean, at night is one thing, but during the day, I don't see anybody wanting to be out there putting on these greens. They're going to get hot and everything else that comes with it. It looks really cool. It looks like a high-end putt-putt thing, more like a more natural-looking green. So I definitely would want to check it out. I love the all-day price thing, especially if the weather isn't too hot, where you could kind of like go do a round, maybe eat, grab a couple drinks, and then go back out, do another one. Stuff like that. I could see people doing three turns through this thing. So I think there's a lot of value there. It's just a question of, you know, should this be an indoor type of thing?
Yeah, it looks great. They did a good job on it. Lots of cool visuals there. They also have an event space and a restaurant. And I think we're still waiting on one more of these golf venues to open. And that's the one at Mandalay Bay, the very Vegas name Swingers Golf. So we'll see that one open, I think, later this year. And it's a revolution on alternative golf in Las Vegas, I guess.
Yeah, and then Swingers, you know, once we get that there, the Instagram rankings will change because Mandalay Bay will go number one with the Swingers pictures.
Everybody likes a good swinger in Vegas. So let's talk about this. So you would think that when the Wynn and Encore presidents is going to step down from the company, there would be some drama behind it. He got fired, or especially with all the drama we've seen on the North Strip, lawsuits between Fountain Blue and Wynn, executives getting poached, all of that sort of stuff. But that's not the case. It doesn't seem like Steve Whiteman, the president of Wynn and Encore, is leaving the company. Essentially, he's been number three at this company, and the rumors are that maybe he just didn't see any more upward mobility for him. so he's pursuing other opportunities. It will be out of the gaming space. According to reports from Vital Vegas, he has a non-compete. So where do you go from when? Do you go lead a whole new hotel brand? I imagine his options are pretty limitless at this point.
I don't know. He's been doing it for 20 years. Hopefully he just has enough money that he can retire or whatever. If you're that high up and win, I'm guessing you're making some bank. But how funny would it be if he ends up at Fountain Blue in like 3 years?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. Maybe he wants to leave the space as well. But we talk so much about how Wynn has achieved this great product for such a huge hotel, the level of service that they have. And when you've been leading that and, you know, sort of at that company since the ground and then work your way all the way up to being the president and running these hotels, I'm sure there's plenty of people knocking on your door. And these types of guys, they don't retire, Mark. They keep going. You know, they want to keep pursuing that. And, you know, they don't just fade away into the sunset.
Be interesting to see where he lands. Maybe it won't be gambling, like you said. Maybe it'll be more just running a Four Seasons type hotel somewhere else. But I'm sure if he wants a job, he'll definitely have one.
It would have been more fun if there was some drama, if he got fired. But no, he just did a great job. And he's ready to move on. And congratulations to him for leading that brand and working his way up and doing a tremendous job there, because we all love Wynn Las Vegas. So let us know what you guys think about anything we talked about today. Those crazy lines at Paris, the train to Rancho Cucamonga, the new Pop Stroke mini golf, converting office buildings into strip malls, all of that stuff. Hit us up in the comments. We do two shows a week, Tuesdays and Fridays, and we'll be back in a couple days with another show. Thanks so much for watching. Talk to you next time.
Have a good week, everybody.